Let's get right to work. Our time is really short over this period, so I'll get going. We've got a little less to do today, and then we can get on to the Greek. Isaiah 55, 6 to 9. Is that the correct reading? I noticed the daily announcements had 50, 6 to 9, and that was a typo. I believe it's 55, 6 to 9, which is a more familiar passage anyway, not to mention perhaps a little easier. And we'll have to contemplate why we're reading this at this time. Verse 6, but let's go through it. It's fairly short and not too difficult. Dear Shu Yahweh, well, seek Yahweh, Darash, to seek. Possibly with worship overtones. This isn't kind of, you know, look around until you can put on a bumper sticker that says, I found it. But you seek God in the appropriate place. And where is that appropriate place? Interesting that the next word tells you, right? This is a great form. B-him-matsa-o. You want to parse it? B-him-matsa-o. All right? Matsa. It's got to be an infinitive construct, right? All right. Boy, this is great. Root matsa. The Niphal, infinitive construct. Remember, this is the one place where the Niphal has the H prefix, which makes you think it's a Hifil, but it's not. The Niphal has the H prefix, both in the imperative and the infinitives, infinitive construct. So this is matzah, to find, Niphal, to be found, with the pronominal suffix, in his being found. Okay? In his being found. I'd like to suggest that the Niphal here has a little bit of the old reflexive sense in his letting himself be found. That would be my suggestion for translating this. It sort of respects the integrity of God to let himself be found, so it's not I found it, but I've been found, or I've been allowed to find it. This is the example I always use. When you play hide and seek with your little kids, okay, and after three times around the house and you're standing there, right by the door, and they run by you about the third time, the fourth time, what do? You actually jump out and stand in front of them. They plow into you, and what do they say? I found you, Daddy. Well, sure you did, right? I allowed myself to be found. And sometimes God kind of gets in our way, and we might think we either found him or tripped over him, but you got to preserve a cause and effect here. Now, if this is in a worship context, you see, where is God making himself found? Answer, in the temple. In the place where he has caused his name to dwell, where he has allowed himself to be present, dare I say, incarnate, on earth. All right? So this isn't just necessarily, if you look far enough in the desert and the woods, sooner or later you sort of have a religious experience and find God. But there are specific places where he is to be found. See? Now, put this in the context of Isaiah. Assuming that so-called second Isaiah, even written in the 8th century, is still speaking to a time when the temple wasn't there and they were exiles, then the whole point of this is to say, even in exile, you see, not only is God to be found in Babylon, where his people are or where he makes himself available, but, and I think this is really the point, there will be a time when you will be restored to that place, i.e. Jerusalem, where the temple is again. Now, that's still looking at it in an Old Testament perspective. The place where God is found is completely transformed by the speech of Jesus when he says, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again, where God's presence is no longer found in a piece of dirt or a building in Jerusalem, but wherever the body of Christ is made present in the midst of his people. And that is why sacramental theology is at the heart of God's presence in the earth. And that's the difference between Lutherans and Protestants. Seek Yahweh in his letting himself be found. Call him, Kir-uhu, Kir-uhu. You see the U there has been written defectively. Call him, another similar form, though this is a kal infinitive, in his being. Hayoth is from Hayah, in his being near, Karov. Ya'azov, imperfect of Azav, I'm going to argue it's Jussev. The form is the same, imperfect or Jussev, but I've got evidence that's coming. Let the Rasha, let the wicked guy forsake his Derek, Derek with suffix Darkol, and the man of iniquity, Ish Awen, you got to use let him forsake a second time here, it does double duty, let him forsake his Machshavoth. The root Kashav means to think, consider, plan, reckon. So his thoughts, his considerations, his plans, all right? 7b, and v'yashov. Now, yashov is an irregular verb. It's the hollow root shuv. The imperfect would be yashuv. But this form, with the shortened mater letter, it's still a long vowel, to yashov, is in fact the Jussev form. Here you have a Jussev that's different from the imperfect, which kind of tips us off that these have all been in Jussevs. And let him return, let him shuv, El Yahweh, and Yerachamehu. Boy, that's a mouthful. Piel imperfect of Racham. The Shwan or the Piel imperfect is gone because it's alighted with the Wow, and that means that the Wow is pointed with a Shwa. Two Shwas make a Herik. You remember all that? I can't go through that without a blackboard, I don't think. In any case, the Wow here is pointed as the conjunction and therefore is not, I repeat, is not Wow consecutive, but the straight imperfect. The Jussev followed by an unconverted imperfect is a purpose clause or final result clause of some sort, all right? So let him return to Yahweh, and this is what's going to happen. Yahweh will racham him, will show mercy to him, pity him. Racham is this soul, sort of mother love, if you will, the love of the womb. You could even translate this so that he will have mercy on him. And to our God, because Yarbe l'sloach. Interesting construction. Yarbe is the hifil of Rabbah, to be many, to multiply in the hifil, to cause to be many. The infinitive, sloach, kal infinitive of the root salach, to forgive. So that he will make many to forgive, literally. This is a good use of that, what's called hendiadis, or two verbs to make one concept. One becomes adverb, so that he might forgive multitudinously, something like that, huh? Isn't that great stuff? Well, if you can't preach the gospel from a verse like this, you should get out of business. 8, key. We're still not done, though, okay? And now comes kind of the point here. Not my machshavot, your machshavot, right? We just had this word, machshava, as consideration or thoughts. Not my thoughts, your thoughts. Second half, and not your derek's, my derek's. Na'um Yahweh, Oracle of Yahweh. All right? Both words were just used in line 7a, Derek and Machshava, right? Let the evil one turn from his Derek and the man of wickedness from his thoughts, from his Machshava. And now you got those same two used in verse 8, but in reverse order, first Machshava and then Derek. And note the little chiasm, too, between the four words. My, your, my. Get it? That's just nice. Sometimes you just have to smell roses here in good poetry. My thoughts are not your thoughts, and not are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Okay. You know, oftentimes this is preached as sort of a gospel a wisdom. God's ways are smarter than my ways. I should rejoice in that, even though life is incomprehensible to me. Somehow God has a plan. I think that's quite legitimate. The people who are in exile, this came as some relief. All right. On the other hand, you could read this as a little bit of law, I suppose, as just a statement of fact, especially in context with let the wicked one turn from his ways. Why? Because they're not God's ways. That's why. You're working on a different DOS, see? And you got you're in a whole different conceptual world here when you're not on God's plan. 9. Ki gavahu, as the heavens are high from earth. High from, little review of grammar here, equals higher than. Remember the min of comparison in Hebrew? As heavens are higher than earth, thus my derricks are high from your derricks, are higher than your derricks, and my machshavoth. Now you kind of have my your. He's gone one more round with these two words, and he's kind of got them back to more normal order. My ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. That's it. That's the end of text. You almost want to go on to 10 and 11. This is that business about the rain and the snow and God's word shall not return empty and void. But that's really not the text. I think those two verses pop up later on in the lectionary. And it's hard not to go on to this business of sort of the patient waiting for God's will and God's way to play out according to his plan, which of course is different from the way we view reality. That's a given. And that's really the point of 6 to 9. I mean, if anything, 6 to 9 is essentially law, I think. He's kind of saying, you're on the wrong page. And the point is right in the middle, verse 7b, which is gospel. All right, but in Hebrew poetical style, it's probably in the middle, not at the end. Let the wicked return from his ways, or turn from his ways, and he will have mercy on him. See? That's where we are. Okay, hey, we did this quick. Any quick questions? Go ahead. Oh, we got a flag on the play. 9AB. What's your question? The 9AA is suggesting that you read that gavahu as what? Kigavoa, like the height of. That's taking it as an infinitive of the heavens. I don't know. Doesn't help. I'd have to look what the Qumran, and then B is Qumran. That's usually worth paying attention. I can hardly read that here in this light. Is that Gova? I'd have to, I'm not sure if that's the same word or they're proposing actually a different reading. The fact that Gavahu is repeated in the second half of the line, I think, is pretty clear that any variant reading is probably either the same word spelled differently or a drop of the pen. I don't know. Interesting. You know, that height business, the assumption that God is on high, of course, is standard sort of locating God. Maybe that ought to form a little a contrast of inclusio with the fact that God is high and his ways are high, and that leads to the rain coming down in the next, and the snow from heaven and waters the earth, making the connection from what is high to what is here on earth. But at the same time, remember this little verse started with 6 in saying, seek God where? Where he can be found. And the assumption here is found on earth, you see. That God doesn't just sort of sit up in heaven and say, too bad, can't get to me. But that he comes down like the rain and actually interacts with his creation and makes himself available in redemption. Well, I'm waxing theological. Let's do the gospel.